Welcome to episode 305 of the Ski Podcast, and thanks for joining us for our 10th and final Winter Olympics special. I'm your host, Ian Martin, and I'm joined again by a TNT Sports commentator, ex-Team GB ski across athlete and Olympian herself, Emily Sarsfield. Hi, Emily, how are you going?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm feeling a bit, slightly deflated after Zoe Atkins' bronze, which we're going to come on to in due course. But the games are almost over, you know, and I really enjoyed the games. It's been quite full on doing all the coverage. I normally publish one podcast a week in winter. This is my 13th in the last 18 days. I mentioned the half pipe. We're recording on Sunday, the 22nd of February. So let's start with that. Finished about 2 hours ago, I think. Won by Eileen Gu, Zoe Atkin won bronze. Did you watch it, Emily?
I did, yeah. Obviously, we were supposed to see that half pipe last night, didn't we? Weren't we? But unfortunately, the weather came in yesterday afternoon, which we know too well from when I was covering the ski cross. And obviously, they had to kind of postpone it until this morning. So I was quite excited to watch it. Obviously, huge amount of pressure on Zoe. But Eileen Gu just manages, she just pulls out the bag at these Olympic Games. I don't think she's ever done an event at the Olympics without putting a medal in her pocket, which is unreal. But you've got to take your hat off to her because her runs were flawless. It's really hard, isn't it? Because obviously the judges are kind of there and they're looking for certain things. To me, Zoe, like, she was hitting amplitude. So that's obviously the height they're getting off the top of the pipe. So bearing in mind the pipe's probably, 22 foot, so nearly 5 meters or so. And then she was getting another 5 meters of height above the top of the actual pipe. Now, that's the same kind of amplitude measurements as the men. So she was kind of a good meter and a half above the highest hit of Eileen Gu. But that obviously wasn't what the judges were looking for. They were just looking for something, really polished. And what do you think?
You know, I wish I was one of the judges. Let's put it that way. I mean, I did record that episode with Ed Lee earlier where he kind of explained how the judges, work and how they do their scoring. But, I'm completely biased. I'm going to put my hand up now and say I'm completely biased. But when Zoe put down that third run, I looked at that and thought, that's a silver. Could it even be gold? Really know. And then it came out and it was one mark less than, the Chinese girl who got the silver. She did get a bronze. I mean, and, I was kind of living in this paranoia that she might end up being fourth, as they were going through everyone. It was disappointing in a way, but a gold, as Hugh and Charlotte got in the team snowball cross, and a bronze just obtained by Zoe Atkin in the women's ski halfpipe, is GB Snow Sport's best ever return at a Winter Olympics. And I've mentioned before, and we've discussed before, how important medals are for funding. I think that will be enough to keep UK sport funding freestyle. But I think those three fourth place finishes are going to sting for a while, aren't they, Emily?
Oh, yeah, no, for sure they are. And you never want the fourth place. Yeah, you want one of those medals, don't you? Especially at the Olympic Games when it's every 4 years. But I mean, yeah, amazing that Zoe did actually get herself on the podium, which is unreal. I mean, the pressure at that kind of like level of competition is huge, isn't it? And then I know you don't like to talk about too much, but we've got to mention the curling guys, don't we?
Well, I have to admit that despite my antipathy to curling, I did watch it last night. I was all queued up to be watching the women's ski halfpipe, which was obviously postponed. And it was on, and it was a gold medal match. I actually watched it with the commentary off, just kind of observing. And yeah, it's the only curling I've watched. And, you learn a little bit about the tactics and what's going on. And we did look up how you score and everything like that. But I don't want to focus on curling. I want to focus on the snow sports events. Let's talk about the men's ski across. I watched that yesterday on TNT Discovery Plus, enjoying commentary from you and Ian Finlay. I thought that was a fantastic final, and I'd like to come back to that. But I wonder if you could take you back to the semi, because in that semi-final, and you're going to have to explain this to me as a relative layman, but, Ryan Regez, I think it is, from Switzerland.
Yeah.
He basically blocked the German guy, Roneck, shoved his elbow into him. Neither of them qualified for the final. And they didn't show it on screen, but when he got to the bottom, Roenick was clearly extremely pissed off. And Ian said in the commentary he hadn't seen an incident like that for 10 years.
What we saw in the ski cross yesterday was a pretty difficult race. So the weather came in at about the quarterfinals and it really changed the competition. And it basically became a competition about weather, and luck played a huge factor in it. What Ryan did, obviously he cased, he knuckled a jump, so he didn't carry the speed and allowed Tim Roenick to carry more speed into that turn. Now, Ryan essentially, he's not normally this kind of guy. He's not normally that the guy who would do foul play like that. But yeah, he put his arm across him and you're not allowed to do that. Like back in the olden days of ski cross, people used to do that kind of thing. They used to kind of like skate their skis out to kind of knock people off balance, and they used to see some elbows kind of blocking and stuff, but it's not allowed now. And a few years ago they've put in these rules of the warnings and the yellow cards and the red cards, and the whole idea of that is to kind of obviously to prevent any foul play. Now, because of that complete block, what he did on Roenick, I thought it would have been a red card, because that to me was completely on purpose. I mean, it was just, you know, you're in the Olympic Games semi-finals, trying to get to the final, trying to get a medal. This guy was the gold medalist in the last Olympic Games. So he's probably unconsciously done it, but he has done it, and it was foul play. And that has prevented Tim Roenick from advancing through into the final, because it basically stopped his speed as well and allowed the
and at one point he was so pissed off he turned around and gave him a hard stare, yeah, you know, in the middle of the race
on the track. Yeah, I know. So I was really surprised that it wasn't a red card, and we were talking about this in comparison at the time because we were quite shocked about it, and we were like, well, that's Roenick's chance at making the Olympic final, which essentially he should have been in. And what do you do? Like, I think in short track and those, they kind of advance the people through, whereas in ski cross you would have to rerun the race, and it doesn't ever happen. You never rerun the race.
Well, I truly felt for Tim Roenick there. It seems so unfair. But when we came to the final, that was such a brilliant race. It was so exciting, and there was a photo finish for silver. It was so close. And, you know, listener, if you haven't watched these, they're so easy just to track back and rewind and watch them, you know, as live. The difference between silver and bronze, to me, looked like it was about kind of 5 to 10 centimetres, something like that.
Not even. It's like literally it was half a finger length. It's absolutely crazy. Obviously, I was a little bit, but I'm a little bit biased here, but I absolutely love Alex Fever. You know, I know him well because we used to race together on the circuit, because he's actually 40. Like, I really wanted him to get that silver medal. He obviously picked up the silver in the last game. So to kind of, I would have loved him to win, don't get me wrong. So unfortunate. But yeah, Tomasoni managed to literally half a finger's length on the finish line. But I think that's the exciting thing about ski cross, is the photo finishes you get in ski cross. I mean, I don't know if you recall back to the Sochi one where they all crashed over the line. And it, for me, it's the most impressive photo finish you're ever going to see in sporting history. But yeah, I think that's the exciting thing about it, is it literally comes down to fingernails. It was a tough one yesterday for those guys. The weather came in and it was really quite heavy, wet snow. So it was really sticky snow. And they were having to skate around the turns. Now, had that been a World Cup and not the Olympic Games, that would have been cancelled. It wasn't showcasing the sport in its best light, because it became about a bit of luck. They were launching themselves off, like popping the jumps to make the distance as long as possible, and still weren't making the distance. Now, that's when it becomes really dangerous.
Those heavy snow conditions definitely slowed them down, and it did change it, but it didn't change the fact that it was an extremely exciting final. Now, I've got a question for you, Emily. Do you happen to know it was Simone Deramodis who won the gold there? Do you know how much he earned by winning that gold medal?
Oh, I had a little look at this just recently, because it goes against the Olympic Charter almost, because the Olympics is supposed to be kind of like unprofessional competition. I think it was something like, is it Slovakia or something? Like they're the highest paying for Paralympic Games. But you're going to tell me exactly how much he earned for that one.
Well, you may have read the same article as me. He earned £150,000 roughly for winning that gold medal. And the Italians aren't actually paying the worst. Singapore, who I don't think won any gold medals, would have paid half a million.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are only three countries that don't pay for a gold medal. So Hugh Nightingale and Charlotte Banks won the team snowball cross gold medal for Team GB, and they won nothing for that. And other two countries are Norway and Sweden as well. So we can claim that we can keep that Olympic ideal alive. Now, you know, they did get a gold medal. And Zoe has won a bronze medal. We've already said it's the best return for skibby snow sports, skiers and snowboarders on snow at a Winter Olympics. So what we're hoping is we're going to see a payoff there for British snow sport in general. And just at the end of the half pipe, I was watching on BBC, and this is what Tim Woolwood and Ed Lee had to say about the potential legacy for the sport.
We have an incredible network of dry slopes, indoor snow domes and ski resorts across Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So there's no excuses. There's lessons and slopes close to you. You need to get in there pretty quick. If the same thing happens after these games that we saw after Jenny's medal in Sochi, everything gets booked out for months
on end. It'll be September before you ski it.
But we talk about this a lot. It has the power. We've built lives around snow sports, and yeah, you can go and you can become an elite level athlete. I think these days the level is so high. The reality is that families have to make sacrifices. You would have to move out to the snow when kids are relatively young to give them the snow time that they need. But there are so many other jobs within the industry, and it's an amazing community. There's a flourishing snow sports industry in the UK. And I always say that it broadens your horizons, literally and metaphorically, when you get up into the mountains and you see what's possible. And I think even if you don't end up working in these industries, it's one of the few areas where you can take a family. And I do this with my family still. I have my parents and my kids with me. We're three generations out on the snow doing the same activity and enjoying ourselves. We all get something from it. And as a family, you spend the day together. And I absolutely love that about it. I think it's one of the most unique things.
Yeah. Just to add to that, go put ski slope into your search engine and you'll find one not too far from you. It'll surprise you how close there is one to you in the UK. And just go and book a lesson. Go and give it a go. And it'll probably really hurt to start with.
No, it won't.
But then after that, you'll be totally fine.
So what do you think? Do you think this can help drive up interest in snow sports in the UK, Emily?
Yeah, well, I really hope so. We saw after the curling medal in Beijing, was it? I know I've gone back to curling. But it basically, you couldn't get a curling spot in a rink for months, like 6 months or so. And the same with Jenny Jones's impact after Sochi, it was that loads of people were taking up the sport. And I just really, I really hope that your Dave Ryden, he started on the dry ski slope. He's got himself on World Cup podiums, being one of the best ranked in the world off the back of skiing on our dry slopes, which is exactly what Ed was talking about. There's a huge network of indoor domes and dry slopes absolutely everywhere. And you don't often know they're there, but there's many around the UK. So yeah, I really hope it does kind of inspire some people to just give it a go. It might not be that they want to be an athlete and make that their career, but it certainly is something fun. And I just love being in the mountains. There's a little postcard I've got. If you're lucky enough to be in the mountains, you're lucky enough. And even just kind of that experience is amazing for me.
Well, we're coming to the end of the games now. It'll be the closing ceremony tonight, I think. Will you watch closing ceremony, Emily? And also, second question to that, did you go to the closing ceremony when you were at the Olympics in Pyeongchang in 2018?
Yes, I'm going to try and watch the closing ceremony out there. And yes, I did go to the closing ceremony in Pyeongchang. It was amazing. It was a real celebration of the fact that you've been there, you've competed at the Olympic Games. There's only a handful of people who get that opportunity to get to the Olympic Games, and especially for Team GB, you're a very select number. So just the honour of representing your country at an Olympic Games was huge. The pressure releases and you're at the end of the Games, but it's also a little bit of an anticlimax because you've had this amazing experience, and then you're leaving. Probably, I mean, Ski Cross, for instance, they've got another race next weekend. Straight back into kind of the grind of the World Cup Tour and stuff. But what a game. It's been a lot of fun and really good to watch. And I've loved doing this podcast with you, Ian.
Excellent. Well, you know, a lot of those athletes, you said they're going to be going home as Olympians, you know, for the first time. They'll have memories that will last forever. But there's something else that can last forever, and that's an Olympic rings tattoo. Now, I think I'm right in saying that you've got one, Emily, haven't you? There you go, from camera.
Yeah,
right now. Now, I'm interested. Is this one of the things that they offer in the Olympic Village? You know, the athletes going around, there's like a tattoo artist somewhere in the Olympic Village who's
probably not a bad idea, actually. It took me about 3 years or so to actually get mine after the games. My parents were like, oh, you can't ever have a tattoo, you know. Yeah. And mum was still a bit like, oh, but dad was like, no, she kind of deserves that. Like, that is, she's put a lot of grind in to get to those games. And so that tattoo kind of just reminds me of the tough times and actually eventually managing to make it. But they do have many nail studios in the Olympic Village, so you can get, that's why everyone's nails look perfect when you're there. You can go and get your nails done every other day with whatever flags or whatever pictures you want on them.
Well, we'll find out from our Olympians at some point whether or not they got a tattoo. I wonder if I can ask you a question that, you know, is probably going to be quite difficult, but I'm going to ask you, can you pick out one highlight from the last couple of weeks that really stands out to you?
Obviously, personal highlights for me, the opportunity to kind of work on the games and talk about the sport, which I love, and bring it to life and try and showcase it in the best light it can possibly have. And then another personal one to that was one of my really good friends, Fanny Smith, getting that silver medal in the ski cross was absolutely huge. As a spectator, there's so many moments, and it was just a great game to kind of watch and be part of.
For sure. Well, I asked the same question to a few of our contributors over the last few episodes. So let's hear from them. We've got Rachel Oakes-Ash on the Australian perspective, regular contributor Bethany Garner, who was working for Team GB out there. And I also asked Zach, Luca and Freddie Carrick-Smith, who we hope will be representing Team GB at the next Games in 2030, for their thoughts.
Hey, Ian, the Aussie experience in Milano Cortina has been all time, especially in Livigno, which may be why I can't really use my voice completely. We went in, like the last two games, with high hopes for our FIS World Cup competitors, who had numerous podiums, crystal globes, yellow bibs and the like over the last two seasons. But this time, we over-delivered with our most successful Winter Olympics ever. 3 gold, 2 silver and 1 bronze. All were picked up in Livigno in the freestyle skiing moguls and aerials and in the park and pipe. Now, the hero of the games for Australia is definitely Cooper Woods, a true blue Aussie-style legend from the South Coast with a mogul skiing heritage family. He came out of nowhere, having only ever scored himself a silver podium on the FIS World Cup in 2024. Now, the man stepped up and nailed his Q2 run, then the finals run, then the super finals run, and won it on turn scores after tying with the GOAT, Mikhail Kingsbury. I've got goosebumps just remembering it. Jakara Anthony went in to defend her gold from Beijing in singles moguls, but she stumbled in the super final last run, which was devastating. But she came back in dual moguls to take revenge gold. And now she's got a second chance to defend gold in France in 2030. Matt Graham, he ensured the famous dad podium in dual moguls by claiming the bronze. That meant Mikhail Ikuma and Matt created the most wholesome podium in the whole of Livigno and brought their little kids up for a photo. It was absolutely divine. Now, Scotty James was publicly shooting for gold and was left heartbroken with silver after attempting a backside double cork 1620 on his last run. Now, if he'd landed it, then boom, gold was his. But like so many other competitors in the comp, it just felt like he ran out of pipe, which is a discussion FIS and IOC probably need to have with the fast progression of men's snowboarding. Danny Scott took our second silver, this time in aerials, laying down the highest score of the event in her finals run, then landing her super finals to get a place on the podium. Josie Baff, now she took gold in border cross and let her emotions all hang out, as she should, on that top podium. She was a joy to behold because she qualified really quite low down the field. I think it was 17th. And she ended up in every bracket against the top of the field and ended up across the line first, getting gold. And the whole crowd went wild because all of her supporters were wearing pink beanies. Well, that's not the only reason they went wild, but there you go. There were more Aussie supporters in Livigno than any other Winter Olympics. And the sea of green and gold, and the pink, of course, could be well spotted from afar. Now, who was robbed? In my opinion, Valentino Gasselli. He was underscored. His amplitude in the halfpipe was off the charts. I'm not saying he would have got on the podium, but he certainly would have got further up that standing. If he'd been in Indra Brown's halfpipe ski final, he might have won, as the judges were clearly giving amplitude higher points. Hello, Indra. We still love you. Than degree of difficulty tricks. You might have heard of Indra, 16 years of age, has won 3 podiums from 4 starts on the FIS World Cup, silver, bronze and gold, not necessarily in that order, and also claimed silver in her first X Games. She is definitely one to watch for the next 4 years. It is a judge sport. We don't always agree, but we do accept the outcome. Hello, Eileen Gu. I do agree, though. She got 2 silvers and a gold across 3 disciplines. Wow, amazing. What an outcome for Australia, however. Top 10 finish. We finished, I think, 4th overall in snowboard and 4th in freestyle overall as well. Cannot wait for France 2030. I hope you're going to be there, Ian. I am totally wrecked now and I'll probably sleep for a week.
Hi Ian, it's Bethany here, calling in from Livigno once again, and unfortunately for the last time. Wow, what a 3 weeks. I feel so lucky and privileged to have been in Livigno and working with the British team the whole time. We've had, it's fair to say, lots of highs, lots of lows. It's for sure been one hell of a roller coaster, but my overriding feeling from the whole games is immense pride and joy to watch the level of skiing and snowboarding, particularly the events that kind of stuck out, the big air, the pipe, just the level of riding, both for the skiers and snowboarders, is off the scale. I was lucky to be in Sochi in 2014 and, you know, the progression since then is unbelievable. I know you guys have seen it all on the telly, you've been listening to Tim and Ed in the commentary box, Jenny talking to everybody, but what's it really been like? Well, you know, there's people out skiing, the slopes have been relatively quiet, there has been ridiculous amounts of snow. We've had at least 3 days, particularly two days ago, when they had to postpone the pipe qualifiers. It just snowed and snowed and snowed and snowed. You asked me to talk about my highlights. What are my highlights? I think, not, I don't want to say a low light, because I thought Kirsty Muir skied insanely, but for me personally, seeing how upset Kirsty Muir was after her slopestyle 4th place was absolutely heartbreaking, and I've got to say I had a lot of tears in my eyes, kind of mirroring her feelings, and I know the whole of the British team felt the same. And then that was paired with, you know, another 4th place for her, but a whole different feeling. She was so proud of her big air jump, and she quite rightly so. And you know, she was so close, but at the same time, you know, we need to put it in perspective. And that's 2 4th places from Kirsty, a 4th place from Mia. Amazing results from the cross country guys over in Predazzo. Yeah, I can't not mention Charlotte and Hugh. That was an insane day. You know, we had relatively not low expectations, but a medal wasn't necessarily a given after their performances individual. And again, how upset Charlotte was after her individual, you know, I think anyone that had seen that would have felt just as I did, and so desperate for some success for Charlotte, because she is the best female snowboard cross rider and a phenomenal athlete and a phenomenal person. So yeah, that medal win was insane, you know, going from thinking, oh, they might do it, and then they're in the quarters, then in the semis, and then, you know, that the ride of their lives, both Hugh and Charlotte in the final, was, yeah, of course a highlight. Very strange day, because, you know, as it was all happening and I was running around like a headless chicken, then, you know, we saw Mia not qualify in snowboard slopestyle, and that, you know, that was really, really disappointing for her, because again, one of the best snowboarders, if not the best snowboarder, female snowboarder in the world. And yeah, desperately sad for her, but she loves snowboarding so much, she'll bounce right back. I've got no qualms about that. The atmosphere has been fantastic at all the events, even qualifiers, and particularly the last few days at Pipe, where you're in a slightly smaller stadium setting, and the British fans have been going crazy. And yeah, I forgot to mention, on the day that Charlotte and Hugh won, the atmosphere there was incredible from the off. They had big sets of family members and other British supporters, and when they started singing Sweet Caroline, that was really cool, really, really cool moments. So yeah, I think everyone has enjoyed it. I hope everyone who listens to the Ski Podcast has, and I know that Ian, you definitely have. Thanks so much, Ian, and I will speak to you soon. Ciao.
What's up, listeners? It's Zach Coach-Smith here. Thought I'd give you guys some of my thoughts on the Olympics these past couple of weeks. I'm going to start off with the speed events. On the men's side, it was amazing to watch Franjo kind of, well, kill it with his three gold medals. That was cool. And Odomat, a bit upsetting. I think he came into these games with sort of weight on his shoulder, thinking he kind of had to win it, because that's like one of the things he's never done, is got a gold medal. Whereas Franjo's still young, and he's sort of fearless. So that was interesting to watch. And then on the women's side, Lindsey Vonn, devastating. I honestly thought she was going to win it. I guess that's sport, isn't it? If you're not going like she is, I mean, you shouldn't really be in it. And the tech events, amazing to see Shiffrin hold it together in that slalom. Unbelievable. Then the men's GS, Brathen, crazy first run. Amazing he held that together, because the pressure at the top would have been pretty unbearable on that second run, the GS. Of course, that slalom, that first run, I've never seen a course set quite... I mean, I've seen a couple of courses set quite as tough as that. But for the Olympics, I was impressed with how tough they made it. And it really shows the ones that go down had the skill, isn't it? And then, of course, another devastating moment was... Atlee's second run. You could see straight away that he was nervous, and like straddles like that, in my experience, happen when basically you're scared of straddling. It's funny, but like that's what happens. I think he was too nervous, and who wouldn't be? Yeah, so that was a shame, but he'll be back probably. I feel like he could win it in 4 years. Super exciting, and hopefully in 4 years I'll be there. Thank you guys.
Hey guys, it's Lukey Gagsmith here. Throughout the Olympics, the last few weeks was very exciting. We saw some very good skiing, especially for me in the tech disciplines. It was very exciting to watch the British team beat racing at Dave's last Olympics. What a career he had.
Hey guys, it's Freddie Cagsmith here. I just want to say a few words on the Winter Olympic Games, which was awesome to watch. I'm recording this from Norway. I just flew in this morning from Munich, and I'm here for 2 days. Just one day training tomorrow. 2 days Europe Cup GSs. But yeah, just on the Olympic Winter Games. But I really enjoyed the snowboarding and the freestyle skiing. And also the GS was insane, with Brathen winning by a decent margin, and also Shiffrin by winning by like a second and a half. That was insane. But we knew she had it. I mean, it was a lot of pressure, but yeah. So I'm super happy for her. And it was also really nice to see Brignoni back after injury last year, which was a super bad injury. So it was nice to see her back. And, well, she won the Super G and the GS, which was insane. It was nice to see Kristoffersen on the podium again, third place. And also, well, it was really sad that Atlee came out second run after such good version, but it was a lot of pressure. And it happens. I hope you guys enjoyed watching the Olympic Games as much as me. And, yeah, catch you in the next one. Right.
That's it really for these Winter Olympics. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd love to know. You can leave us a message on Spotify, Instagram or Facebook. Our handle is @SkiPodcast. Or you can drop me an email to theskipodcast@gmail.com. And if you're booking ski hire this winter, don't forget you can get an additional discount if you use the code SKIPODCAST when you book it in sportrent.com, or use the link in the show notes. Now, I will be back in episode 306 next Friday. Our focus will move to Kitzbühel in the Austrian Tyrol and cat skiing in Georgia. But for now, I would really like to thank you, Emily, for joining me for all of these Olympic specials. I've really appreciated having your insight from an insider's perspective, someone who's actually been to the Olympics and knows many of the athletes. So really would like to thank you so much for that.
No, thanks so much. I've really enjoyed it. And I really hope the listeners have enjoyed it too.
Finally, listener, thank you for joining us wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.